Well, good evening. There's lots of firsts for me today. As Jenny said, it's so special. This is our first Sunday back in church together since lockdown began. And this is my first sermon since joining you as your curate back in June. And also, I've got the privilege of giving the first talk in our new teaching series, Freedom. So it's a big day for me, and it's a really good day too. So some of you may know I was a teacher before I joined you here, and we'd always start a new topic by giving an overview. So let me tell you what we've got in store in this teaching series for you. The whole series is based on a verse from John 8, verse 36, this amazing declaration. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And so we want to explore what that freedom looks like for God's people. What have we been freed from, and what have we been freed for? And how to live our lives in this ever-increasing freedom that God longs for us to know. You'll remember the first time when Jesus announces who he is to everyone in the temple. He takes the scrolls and reads from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. This was his mission statement, his political manifesto, if you like, freedom for the captives. And nothing has changed today. This is still the heart of the gospel message for all who come to Jesus. So, of course, the ultimate freedom Jesus brings for us all is freedom from death when he rises from the grave. Praise God. So, there'll also be some study notes and questions that will be sent to home group leaders for you to use in your home groups, and we hope that you enjoy going a bit deeper around this topic. So, tonight we'll be starting at the beginning in Genesis to get the background on why we need freedom in the first place. What's wrong with things the way they are? And then the following week, there'll be the story of God's people who were living in slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt and how they have this wonderful deliverance and what we can learn from that powerful story in Exodus. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll see how even in the Promised Land, the people of God could not get things right and still need saving time and again. But God is faithful and keeps promising them to send them a savior, his own son. And we'll think about that time of waiting for the Saviour or the Messiah in that intertestamental period the week after that. Then we're going to look at the incarnation, how God comes alongside us in the human Jesus, and he goes to the cross to bring us freedom and enter into our suffering to free us from our pain. And then finally, we're going to finish with testimonies and stories of how Jesus is still bringing freedom to people's lives today. So that will be a great climax. So I hope that whetted your appetite and puts tonight's talk in some kind of context. And what we're really hoping and praying for everyone, that we'll experience some greater level of freedom in our own lives as we go on this journey together. And maybe there's something that already has popped into your mind, but we'll just be asking the Holy Spirit to show us if there's anything, any area in our lives he wants to bring more freedom to. So if we turn to the Old Testament reading this evening, we know from the story of Adam and Eve earlier in Genesis that in the beginning they walked with God as friends in the garden, the beautiful garden, naked and unashamed. They had this glorious open relationship with the Lord that brought that sense of belonging, significance and security that we all crave. But Adam and Eve doubted God's love, God's good intentions for them. The snake was able to suggest to them that God was keeping something good from them. He implies that God has lied to them. So God had said they would die if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the snake says in verse 4, "You will not certainly die." And they listened to the snake instead of to what God had said. And they swapped this naked abandonment of being secure in knowing they are known and loved by God for guilt and shame, having to cover over their most intimate parts with the fig leaves to try and hide it from God. And they now have a broken relationship with God. They're aware of their sin and sense that need to cover themselves up. They no longer believe that God is for them, and that they can trust in his love for them, even though he'd provided this beautiful garden for them to live in. And we still do the same today, or I know I do, doubting God's love for us. Does he really want what is best for me? Can I really trust him to provide for me? But then we have this moment in the narrative that I want to highlight when God asks them, where are you? Well, it's not that God didn't know where Adam was, because God is all-knowing. And we know from Psalm 139, there is nowhere that we can hide from God. But the first step in us coming into freedom is to acknowledge where we are, to acknowledge what it is we've been trying to cover up. And the next step is to be willing to come out of hiding and be willing to let God see us as we truly are. The thing is, as we go through life, we experience hurts and disappointments, and we become wounded. And to stop ourselves being hurt anymore, we cover over those sensitive places with masks, not the masks you're wearing, but a sort of fake mask that we put on to the outside world, and they can help protect us. So Arianna Walker says in her book, Mirror Image, hiding behind a false identity by wearing masks is a natural reaction to pain, and it's often used as a defense mechanism to express our hurt or to protect ourselves from more hurt. So it's a completely natural response. The first part of my talk on freedom, I'd like to sum up as come out of hiding. If we want freedom and wholeness, we must be prepared to lay ourselves bare before God. And you'll see in verse 21 that God, in his love, makes these garments of skin for Adam and Eve, something far better than their own sewing efforts with the fig leaves. So the first blood shed on earth was to cover their shame. And we see in the New Testament that Jesus' blood was shed for that same reason, to cover our sin and shame so we can come out into the open. God covers us in his love and forgiveness so we can stand before him and each other, unashamed and forgiven. Well, one of the masks I'm tempted to wear is the mask of perfectionism and performance. I know this is something I struggle with, trying to earn love by being a good enough wife or sister, daughter, mother, or Christian. And I like to have the perfect house and garden. So if people are coming around to our house, everything would have to be immaculate, so they couldn't find any fault with me, so that I would measure up to win their approval. Well, that's proving a slight challenge now that I'm in the curate's house with a rather enormous overground front and back garden that we can't tidy up before you come round. So anyway, we had some guests for dinner on Friday night. So the house was tidied. The Hoover came out. I prepared a lovely dinner. Oh, my husband helped me. And we lit candles, put the air freshener on. Well, it was all going well until it came to dessert, which I've actually brought to show you. It was a bit of a disaster. This is meant to be a Morello cherry bakewell tart. It was once. I can smell the burning smell from here. Well, sadly, my mask had completely slipped off. But the fact is, none of us are perfect, and God sees past my failing and imperfections and loves me anyway. So other masks we can wear, things like I'm too busy, or the mask of a lively personality. And you'll see more on this topic of masks and the different masks we can wear in the study notes if you're interested. I've chosen the Lord's Prayer as our second reading today because it begins, Our Father. If the first part of my talk was called Come Out of Hiding, I'd like to finish with a second come. Come to the Father. My favourite worship song at the moment is by Cody Carnes, and it's called Run to the Father. It's great for jogging too. I can recommend it. Well, all the words are good, but the chorus goes, I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon and my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. So Jesus shows us that through him we have a way back to the Father, which is why we can call him our Father, as Jesus does. So our identity, our need for belonging and security that Adam lost in the garden, are restored through Jesus. And we can see some other keys to freedom in the Lord's Prayer as we go through it. Hallowed be thy name. And one of the keys to freedom can be lifting our eyes to heaven in praise and worship, lifting the eyes off our problems to our Father, and it increases the sense of God's presence in our lives. And then it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so now our lives have meaning and significance. We're freed from that life of meaningless toil described in Ecclesiastes. We're living for his glory and his kingdom with a sense of purpose to see his love, his just, his mercy, righteous, merciful ways being worked out on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. We can look to God to provide for us. We can be free from that fear of lack and the drive to work all hours to make ends meet, because our Father knows what we need before we ask him. And then forgive us our sins. We see God wants us to be free from guilt and shame over things in the past and mistakes that we make each day. I really like that my surname is Snow, because it just reminds me that his blood washes us as white as snow. And then it says, as we forgive those who sin against us, and another key to freedom can be forgiving those who have wronged or hurt us, and giving them to God and letting God be their judge. I love the lines of the liturgy we'll be saying in a minute during communion that describe this coming to the Father. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. So come out of hiding. Come to the Father. And my prayer is this church community will be a safe place where we can take off our self-protective masks and the other masks eventually, and experience freedom from shame and guilt, knowing we are loved unconditionally by the Father. Amen.